you've seen since 1949. You've got, you know, Republicans doing very strong things across the country. On the state level, the amount of seats Republicans won were ungodly. And I think it was 600 or something. But no, apparently that's not the story of what's going on. Apparently, that means nothing because McClatchy decided to take a poll. And the McClatchy newspapers took a poll saying, are you in favor or are you against repealing Obamacare? And they managed to get 51% in this particular poll to say, no, we don't want to repeal it. So, according to the McClatchy newspapers, that 51% in that poll is much more important than that election we just had. Let me read a little bit from the article. And the article is titled, New Poll Undercuts GOP Claims of a Midterm Mandate by Stephen Thorma, McClatchy Newspapers. A majority of Americans want Congress to keep the new health care law or actually expand it, despite Republican claims that they have a mandate from the people to kill it, according to a new McClatchy Marist poll. Now, oh, Lonely One, I don't know, and by the way, you can find her at lonelyconservative.com. I don't know how we ever thought that we had a mandate just because we managed to pick up 63 seats when this poll comes out to tell us that it's just not true. I don't know how we got that misconception. What do you think?
Oh, gosh, I don't know, Pete. Maybe they're using the same techniques that Sienna used to tell us that Anne-Marie Berkel was going to lose to Dan Maffei by 12 points. And she ended up winning. So how much weight can you put into these polls?
Well, it's an amazing, amazing thing to see this kind of thing come up. And people give me a credence, but that's not all. McClatchy Newspapers is not alone. One of the deans of the Washington Press Corps, David Broder, wrote a very long article, which I commented on the blog as well. And, of course, I ask you to check out our blog at thetechguy.wordpress.com. And David Broder thought that the story of the election was Lisa Murkowski and her win in Alaska, or I should say apparent win. Now, maybe it's just me, but considering that there were about the same amount of votes cast in Alaska as there were in the 4th District in Massachusetts in the Bonnie Frank-Sean Bilott race, I don't know if that is the bellwether. Oh, the science guy, what do you think about that?
Oh, I don't think you can make that claim. And let me just put a little science spin on it, since, you know, that is my forte. With statistics, you can make them read just about any which way you want to if you're a tricky enough mathematician. And I suspect in their poll there was some very careful crafting of questions to get those numbers.
And a lot like that Syracuse poll that we were talking about earlier, I didn't see a whole lot of information coming out about the details of the poll. But as Stacey McCain says, a poll is a snapshot in time. And at a snapshot in time, there is a snapshot in time when you're hungry. There's a snapshot in time when you're not hungry. And it's just amazing to hear people trying to promote the agenda. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that as the year unfolds, as they try and deal with a Republican Congress. And let's jump. I want to jump again to that David Broder article. I'm going to read a little quote from it. And we're quoting David Broder now. This was in the Washington Post. Palin has conducted a vendetta against the Murkowski family, and she became governor 4 years ago by upsetting Lisa's father, Frank Murkowski, in another low turnout GOP primary. Now, my grandparents came from Sicily, and I think I might know from vendetta. Maybe it's just me, but I don't think running against somebody's father and winning constitutes a vendetta. I mean, I know that when people mention we have a vendetta against you, or people had a vendetta in Sicily, no one is talking elections. I mean, is that what they're talking about out in New York when they're talking vendetta?
No, that's not what I hear.
Yeah, I remember in The Godfather, that's what Sonny, when his father was shot and he wanted a vendetta against the Tattaglias. the first thing he did was starting to register voters. That's what they needed the mattresses for. They wanted to bring in the voters to register to vote in New York to vote the Tattaglias out of the five families. That was the plan.
Well, I think one of the other interesting things you point out there is that if you look at the quote, it doesn't say she defeated her father. It says Palin upset her father. And God forbid we have a politician that gets their hair bent. I mean, that would just be terrible to have one upset.
Well, it gets better in that. Let's go back to that Broder article again, because the poll is just silly, frankly. But Broder has a lot of experience in Washington, and again, we're going to quote him. Before he left office, Frank Murkowski appointed Lisa to a vacant Republican Senate seat, only to see her lose the nomination this year. So you're talking nepotism here. I mean, in fairness, Lisa Murkowski did win the election following. This was her second time running for re-election. But is a person who was appointed by her father. Now, let's imagine for a second that this was Governor Palin appointing Bristol. Or let's imagine that it was George Bush Sr. appointing Jeb, or George W. appointing Jenna. Do you think the mainstream media might have had a few objections there?
Yeah, I think their heads would explode.
Yeah, it's a little bit amazing when you think about that. And I wanted to talk about, you wrote about this on your site at thelonelyconservative.com. You had an article called Mandate. Heck yeah, the GOP has a mandate. Can you tell us a little bit about that article?
Well, the night Anne-Marie Berkel finally won the race here in New York 25, a reporter asked her, he pointed out that the race was close, and does that mean that she should basically abandon her principles? And she said she didn't think anyone was asking her to compromise my principles. And I don't think that's what anybody expects to happen. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Let's put it this way. She may have gotten 51 or 50% of the vote, but she got 100% of the seat in Congress.
Exactly. And she went up against a guy with $3 million in the bank to her, what, $500,000?
Yep,
so if they were evenly matched money-wise, I think she would have won by a much wider margin.
And you actually had another link that Stacey McCain brought up about an ad that the Maffei campaign, and I was mispronouncing it last week, so I apologize to Congressman Maffei over that, that the Maffei campaign ran near the end, pointing out Anne-Marie Berkel's pro-life credentials. And
correct.
How that may have backfired big time. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, there are quite a few Catholics in this area, and especially Onondaga County, which is his stronghold, and he did win this county, but you have to wonder how many people who are pro-life Catholics heard that ad, because that hadn't been a focus of the campaign. They were not campaigning on social issues. It was all about the economy, jobs, that kind of thing. And when he brought that up, you have to wonder, did that flip any pro-life Democrats to her side?
That's interesting, because Dan Maffei is also a Catholic, but considered that pro-life stance an extremist position.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very interesting. I mean, I'm very, very Catholic, as you know, Knights of Columbus, Third Degree, and all that. And I would never think that pro-life is a extreme position. If you're Catholic, I mean, if you're a practicing Catholic, that's not extreme. That's the position.
Yeah, and he was calling her extreme from the beginning. I think when she announced her candidacy, that was the first thing that came out from the Maffei campaign was, oh, of course the Republicans have this extremist right-wing woman. So I don't find it extreme, and I don't think most voters find it extreme either.
I found it very, very amazing. But not only that, as I wrote in my Examiner article today, Anne-Marie Berkel's win was not the only really, really interesting win that took place. There were a lot of other wins that were just earth-shattering when it came down to it. You had Renee Elmers in North Carolina 2. You had in Virginia 9. You had a congressman who had been in for, I believe, 17 years, upset and defeated. In Texas, the big one that I think is the most impressive of the lot, was in Texas. In Texas 27, Solomon Ortiz had been the only congressman that seat had ever had since 1982 when the district was created, and Blake Farenthold defeated him. So we mentioned Rene Elmers beating Bob Etheridge in North Carolina, too. He was a seven-term congressman. Richard Hanna in New York 24 also won. Mm-hmm. And even Illinois, the 8th district, the science guy.
Yeah, there was actually another defeat in Texas, and the I don't remember the district number, but the one that Texas A&M sits in had a Democratic congressman named Chet Edwards, who was an incredibly moderate Democrat, beloved by the folks at Texas A&M, loved by the folks in his district, was slaughtered in this election. Now, Democrats in Texas are kind of an endangered species anyway, but this particular one had been there for a couple of terms and was beloved by his district and just got destroyed in the polls.
That's the 17th district,
17th
by the way.
District.
Now, again, we want to remind everybody, if you have some opinions on this and you want to let us know what you think, you can call us at 508-438-0965. You can also email us. I have the email up at thetechguyontheradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you have to say about all of these things. And I'm going to go back to you again, O Lonely Conservative, because you had another article. Your blog has just been a plethora of information. And apparently our liberal friends, and I mean, I live in Massachusetts, so you can't live in Massachusetts and not have liberal friends. So when I say my liberal friends, I mean it literally. I have a lot of liberal friends, and politics is one thing, life is another. But apparently they have found a reason for these Republican victories. And I don't think they thought it was the Tea Party. I don't think they thought it was Obamacare. Apparently, an old mem from the Clinton era has come back.
Yep, the vast right-wing conspiracy. It's back.
Yeah, I don't think by vast they mean my waistline, although they could be meaning that.
That one called it deliberate economic sabotage from the GOP, which is kind of ridiculous because the GOP hasn't had any power for the past 2 years. And for the past 4 years, I mean, Bush was a lame duck for his last 2 years, and the Democrats controlled Congress. So I don't know how the GOP has been able to sabotage the economy when they pretty much have had no power. It's
well, we're just
silly.
Cunning. I'm sorry. We're just very, very cunning. That's why we were able to sabotage all these things without any kind of majority in the House, and with the Democrats, for the most part, until the Scott Brown election, having a supermajority in the Senate. I mean, maybe, well, you're the science guy. Maybe you can come up with a scientific reason how we Republicans were able to do this. Was it something like the computer virus that was attacking the Iranian centrifuges? Or
it had to be something like that. There's just no other explanation. They always love to come up with a bullet point that plays well in the news, and those guys are evil, plays real fast and real hard in the news when you only have 10 seconds to fill.
Yep, and there's a lot of evil that apparently we're about. In fact, one of the groups that talk about how evil we Republicans are the Southern Poverty Law Center, and there's a very interesting thing on a blog called mpetrelis.blogspot.com, and it talks about the Southern Poverty Law Center, and, you know, it's been Charles Johnson of Little Green Footballs has used it as a club against Stacey McCain and others, and apparently they have a Cayman Islands bank account. Who knew? I mean, that's the first thing. If I'm going to set up a group like the Southern Poverty Law Center and I want to advance the rights of the poor and attack racists and all of these things, the first thing I would do is get a bank account at the Cayman Islands. I mean, that's that. I think that was a big and great move by the Southern Poverty Law Center.
And somebody can please correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe they're organized as a not-for-profit organization?
Yeah, well, they're heads over there make some decent money. You'll want to check out this blog site. It's the blog is subheaded The Reporters and Musings from the Veteran Gay and AIDS Human Rights Advocate. So this man who's writing this is not a conservative. But in fact, in his comments, the second comment on his post there says, "Please don't write about this. Conservatives will use it against you." And commenter over there, you know, you're right. We will. Well, we have a special guest waiting on the phone. I'm going to keep you all in suspense for a minute while we pay some bills, and then we will get to a special guest from the state of North Carolina's 2nd District. I'll let you guys figure out who that is, and we will be back. Choose Queensberry Laundry, 112 Queensberry Street, Boston, for all your laundry needs. Dry cleaning, bulky items, repairs, or residential cleaning, we get it done. Have a commercial business with linen, uniform, or something more? Call 978-376-8732, and we'll quote you a special rate with pickup and delivery available. And let Queensberry's holiday special give you more time. Drop your laundry off at Queensberry, and we'll wash it, dry it, fold it, and have it waiting for you for less than a dollar per pound. That's Queensberry Laundry, serving you for decades at 112 Queensberry Street, Boston. 978-376-8732. At JS Protective Services, Inc., www.jsps.us, your security is our business. JS Protective is a family-owned business that will provide you with professionally trained and certified guards for all your security needs. Uniformed or plain clothes, armed or unarmed, one guard or 50. JS Protective Services, 978-537-6700, makes the security of your business their business. And if you have an emergency, we can provide same-day services for any contingency. Your business is your living. Keep it safe and secure with JS Protective Services, Inc., 435 Lancaster Street, Leominster, and on the web at www.jsps.us. From shirts to jackets, Embroid Me, 30 John Fitch Highway, Fitchburg, makes your business known. A visit to www.embroidme-fitchburg.com gives you high-quality logos without a high price. Get your name out there with Embroid Me, 978-342-0936, on the web at www.embroidme-fitchburg.com. Aaron Pallet has been a leader in the industry, known for dependable service for 43 years. For pallets recycled, rebuilt, remanufactured, or new, 800-248-7543 is the number to call. Need pallets in a pinch? Aaron Pallet's radio dispatch trucks are on the job, and your small business isn't small to us. A call to 800-248-7543 brings you the same great service that some of the largest food manufacturers in the world rely on. Your business is our business at Aaron Pallet, 88 Benson Street, Fitchburg, on the web at aaronpallet.com.
Hi, this is Barbara Espinosa, inviting you to join me on Hair on Fire by Barbara, Mondays at 8 p.m. on KFNX 1100 News Talk Radio, and on American Freedom by Barbara. Please join me for Hair on Fire. You'll be glad you did.
Thanksgiving and Christmas are coming. Time to call Romano's Market at 978-342-4927. For nearly 100 years, Mike's family has sold the finest meats, from steaks cut to order to Italian sausage made right at the shop. Don't settle for a frozen bird when you can call 978-342-4927 and get the exact ham, turkey, or specialty meat you need for the holidays or any day. Call Romano's Market, 138 Harvard Street, Fitchburg, 978-342-4927. And tell Mike the tech guy sent you. When it comes to floors, you're covered with Littles Floor Covering, 359 Summer Street, Fitchburg. For 20 years, Littles has sold and installed the best selection of carpets and floors for your home or business. Keep yourself covered with Littles Floor Covering, 978-345-5425, on the web at littlesfloorcovering.com. It's magic and more at Land Games, 444 Central Street, Leominster. Singles, boxes, weekly tourneys, supplies. If it's magic, Land's got you covered. Is Warhammer 40,000 your game? Land has all you need for the battle of a lifetime. Got a D&D game, a tabletop league, or any game? Post it at Land. And special orders? No problem. Any system from Munchkin to Talisman is just a call away. You've got game at Land Games, 444 Central Street, Route 12, Leominster. 978-466-9851. On the web at landgamestore.com.
Hey, you got something to say?
It's enough to make anybody sick and disgusted about where America's headed.
Let your voice be heard. Peter Blue, mornings 6 to 9. Howie Carr, afternoons from 3 to 7.
Ooh, someone's going to help us.
True Talk 830 WCRN.
And we are back. I want to give a shout out, as we do, to all of our new advertisers. I'm giving a shout out to Land Games in Leominster. You've got Game at Land on Route 12 in Leominster. And we mentioned Romano's Market. Remember, the Thanksgiving orders are done, but it's time for Christmas orders. I do want to make a small correction. I owe you guys an apology. This is not who I thought it was on the line. We have a caller from Arizona, and you are on the air. Hello.
Hello. so awesome to be able to talk with you on the Radio Detect Guy. Well, you know how long I've been reading your blog?
I do not know, but I'd love to hear it. How long?
Quite a long while.
Well, I am flattered that you would take the time to call and listen online. What did you have to say? Any comment on what we've been discussing?
Absolutely. The Lonely Conservative brought up such a wonderful beginning of the media bias and the whole right-wing conspiracy. It's almost like a gigantic mound of ice cream. Where do I start scooping? You know what I mean? am I right? Let's look at South Carolina. Jim DeMint, whom I love. The man, if he ran for president, I might even think about moving out to good old South Carolina. But he had that challenger, Alvin Green. Do you remember Alvin Green?
Oh, how can we forget Alvin Green?
How can we forget?
His win was indeed just like this, assumed by many Democrats who were very upset about the win to be part of a right-wing conspiracy. And I'm thinking, gosh, out of all the states where an incumbent was not in danger, why would we plant? I don't even think the Republican Party is smart enough for a plant, to be honest with you. But Alvin Green, I mean, the man is doing well to tie his shoes correctly.
Now, you raised a very good point about the wisdom of the Republican Party. On the national level, I should mention that Rene Elmers did not get a lot of help from the National Republican Party in North Carolina, too. Anne-Marie Burkle did not get a lot of help from the National Republican Party. And the science guy, could you repeat the story that you told on Conservatively Speaking? But this is Vicky, right, is your name?
Yes.
So Vicky can hear it, about when you approached the Massachusetts Republican Party about helping out when you moved to the state.
Absolutely. I moved here from Texas a couple of years ago. And in Texas, everything is Republican, pretty much. I was considered a flaming left-winger there. Here I'm a right-wing wacko, so if that tells you anything about the difference in the politics. But when I moved here, I went down to the GOP headquarters, which is in Boston. And it's in a part of town of Boston that cab drivers don't like to go into, and cab drivers will go anywhere. And when I walked in, I said, hey, look, I'd like to volunteer, spend a little time, make some phone calls, do whatever I can around the office. And they basically said, well, here's where you can send a check if you want to help. And I said, okay, great, I'll send a small donation, but I'd also like to spend some time. I mean, I think time is worth as much as money, if not more, in many cases. And they basically looked at me like I was crazy, and they just said, well, why don't you just want to send a check and go? Basically, they were like, get out of my office, go away, go somewhere else. They looked at me like I had three heads or something. And it took three or four iterations of this before I realized, I'm like, wow, the Mass GOP just has some severe issues.
Well, what I think their issue is, I think sometimes people get comfortable if they're getting a nice little pay, a nice little support, so we don't win, but we get enough contributions so that I can keep my job and make a few bucks at it. And, I mean, I was originally a Democrat until 1992. I became what's called in Massachusetts unenrolled, and I didn't actually join the Republican Party until 2002. I finally decided to join the side I was on. But I didn't join the Republican Party because I have a great love of the letter R. I have beliefs, and the Republican Party was advancing those beliefs. And if the party doesn't want to advance those beliefs, I mean, there's going to be trouble. I mean, there's going to be some serious trouble. What do you think about that, Vicky?
I think we're at a crossroads. I don't think the answer to this is a third party. I think that would be horrific because it would split the country three ways, and the least deserving likely would be elected. What I think needs to happen is that with the new members of Congress that have been elected, and most of them work with the strong support of Tea Partiers, I think they need to start listening to what has been said over and over, the demands for adherence to the Constitution, smaller government, and fiscal responsibility. I can't run my household in the red, and I'm sick and tired of the government doing that. I'm tired of being owned by China. And I want more for my children than what I believe is going to be there unless all of us get off our couches, off our comfortable fannies, and do something about it. And I think bloggers across the country are part of a grassroots era that we've not seen since maybe the revolution.
Oh, Lonely One, what do you think of that?
I think Vicky's exactly right, and I think that the Republicans need to start listening and paying attention
because it's not about them and their political careers. It's about the future of our country,
right.
And what are we leaving to our children? I mean, right now we're just leaving them debt, and we can't continue on this way.
And fragile national security, which has me tremendously concerned. Look what's just now happening between North and South Korea, and I'm very disappointed in our nation's reaction. I'm thinking, what would Ronald Reagan have said?
Obviously
not what Dear Leader said.
I think I have to agree with you there. I want to bring in the studio, John Weston from Conservatively Speaking, our non-blogger person here who has graciously decided to stay to throw in a comment. John, what do you think of what Vicky's telling us from here in Arizona?
Well, I couldn't agree more with everything I've been hearing tonight, actually. I mean, I agree with you that I think this border war, it's never gone away over there in Korea, and we're just not doing it the right way. Plus, we've weakened ourselves politically, financially, militarily, and even the mindset. You know, when Obama has gone around and apologized to the rest of the world for us, you know, this could be a day of reckoning for this country over there, because the rest of the world just might say, hey, wait a minute, they're not number one anymore, and start looking elsewhere because of what this guy's doing. It's absolutely scary, and I really appreciate the fact that I forget who said it, about what would Reagan do?
Well, that was our caller, Vicky.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
When it comes to Korea, here's the big challenge I see as an Army veteran that still does scientific research based on Army programs. I don't care how advanced our technology is. We have 28,000 troops in country in Korea. The South Koreans don't have a whole lot more than that. The North Koreans have 1.1 million troops. Do the math.
Right.
It's a ludicrous imbalance.
No, it's not one of the happier times. Well, Vicky, I want to thank you very much for calling. We hope you call again. Remember, next week, by the way, we will be on at 5 p.m. for next week and the week after. So 5 p.m. next week, 5 p.m. the week after because of UMass basketball, and then we'll be back to our normal 9 p.m. Next week, we are going to have Sissy Willison on the phone, and Roxanne DeLuca will be coming back in studio. And again, Vicky, I want to thank you for calling in, and we hope you keep listening and call in again.
I will, and thank you, and good luck with the new show. It's fabulous. It's just great.
Well, thank you very much,
great
because
work.
This is now my living. All of you listening, those ads that you hear in between shows, this is how I am now paying my mortgage. So feel free to encourage your friends, your neighbors, and your enemies to buy some ad time, because as you can hear from Vicky calling from Arizona, and from our Insta-Lance tonight, I want to give Glenn Reynolds a real big thank you. He Insta-Lanced the show tonight. So there's going to be quite a few of you listening who might not have listened before. So let me introduce us all again. I'm the Tech Guy at thetechguy.wordpress.com. We're here at WCRN. 50,000 watts of true talk. You can hear us in 12 states, I believe, in Canada with this station.
All over the place, Pete.
All over the place. We have The Lonely Conservative at thelonelyconservative.com on the line as our primary guest, and our in-studio guest is The Science Guy at thescienceguy.wordpress.com. And I want to bring up something you wrote, oh Science Guy. You had one of the things about having your own show and basically owning the show and having to sell the ads yourself is you talk to a lot of business people. And I've gone door to door to a lot of people, and I want to thank again all the people who've bought from me, buying the ads and such. And every time I go to a business, whether they buy or not, I ask them the same question. I say, all right, let's pretend you're governor for the day. What's the one thing you could do to help the economic situation? And with two exceptions of all the businesses I've gone to, and believe me, I've knocked on a lot of doors, I get the same answer. Cut taxes. Cut taxes. Cut taxes. People think that taxes don't make a difference. On Morning Joe, And everybody knows who reads my blog, I love Morning Joe. I know it's on MSNBC. It's the best of a fairly liberal lot there. But I've met Willie. I've met Mike Barnacle. They're nice people. I just like these people. I'm sorry. But they had a guest on who was saying, you know, taxes really don't make much of a difference. And I'm telling you, if any of these guys, and I would invite, in fact, I would invite Mike Barnacle in particular, because he's originally from Massachusetts. Come with me to the kingdom and go door to door with me when I'm selling these ads and talk to these businesses about whether or not taxes make a difference. And you have a particular perspective on this, this science guy, because you decided a few years ago to change your investments and invest in something different than the stock market. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, my wife and I own half of a laundry business downtown, but
downtown Boston.
Boston, yeah. And one of the interesting things about being in a tax bracket that involves just a gross and a very much different gross net income is that if they decide to raise taxes the way they're going to, I may as well stay home and watch Dancing with the Stars or whatever happens to be on television at that point in time, because there's no reason for me to work that much harder to wind up in a tax bracket where 60-65% or 51%, pick your number, of that extra money is going to go straight to the government. I just don't care to work that hard. I'd much rather spend time at home eating potato chips watching television.
And John, you had a comment on that.
I did. You know, actually, Pete, you and I met up at the remote studio up at Whitney Field, and some of us on here on CRN were asked this week to go up and collect toys. And I was up there this yesterday afternoon in the early evening, and a gentleman sat down with me who was familiar with our shows and was talking with me. And he shared with me that he spent his last 14 years, he's retired now, as a on-the-road agent for the IRS. And he was a conservative guy. And that's why he liked some of the things we're doing here at CRN. But the more we talked, he was saying on how he got around to the Bush tax cuts and why they needed to continue. And he said, you know, one time I was auditing somebody who was complaining that the rich don't pay anything. And he said, you know, my previous audited was a very wealthy gentleman. He said, before I was auditing this person. And he said, that person the preceding year had paid $20 million in taxes.
A mere pittance, according to Warren Buffett.
Yes. And he said, the person that I was auditing was complaining about the difference of about $5,000. And he said, I reminded this individual that the person I just audited paid $20 million in taxes.
And I want to point, by the way, to the article that the science guy wrote. It's on his blog, thescienceguy.wordpress.com. It's titled The Business Side of Tax Increases and Inflation. You should read it. If you're not reading The Science Guy, you should be. If you're not reading The Lonely Conservative, you should be. And, you know, it'd be nice if you read me, too, especially the Examiner articles. I get three-quarters of a cent for every time you hit on it, so that'll put a dollar or two in my pocket. But I interrupted you, oh, Lonely Conservative and oh, Science Guy. I apologize. So go ahead.
Now, I just think that people miss the point, you know. And the one thing that gets me working in down deep in the Republic of Cambridge is that I hear every day the rich don't pay their fair share. The rich don't pay their fair share. Well, between my wife and I, we paid seven times the average tax burden. You don't have to call us names while we're paying our fair share and five other people's. I mean, stop at some point, right? And just say thank you. We appreciate it. Go make some more money so you can pay eight times the average national thing. Don't try to take another person's share out of what I make now. Let me go make more money so I can afford to pay more tax.
And afford to hire more people.
And afford to hire more people and add more equipment and you know, just leave me alone so I can do that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm a huge supporter of closing every loophole out there and just having a flat tax rate, whatever the number is. But just keep it the same all across the board for all levels of income. And I don't care what that percentage is. Just make it something so that there aren't any huge loopholes I can't get a hold of. And just keep it even.
You know, earlier tonight, we brought up Senator Kerry for one reason or another. You guys were talking, we were talking about our show, too. And there's a perfect example of, let's say, ultra-rich people and their tax burdens and how they're crying. but, you know, I don't know, man. When he runs, boy, that business over that sailboat in Rhode Island has to come up.
Okay, the Lonely Conservative, you had something you wanted to say before we head into break.
Oh, just back on the tax issue, my husband has a small business also, and he's been thinking about adding an employee, but we don't know what's going to happen with our taxes next year. So,
and your health care.
And health care also, yeah. So yeah, he's put off hiring another employee and expanding his business because there's just too much uncertainty right now.
And let me mention something. I've been to the Lonely Conservative's house. Her husband is a contractor, and I've seen the counters he does and the work he does. If you live in Central New York, you want to hire this guy. He does really good work. I mean, if my wife saw the way the inside of your house looked, she would be about as jealous as a human being could get. It is gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. It's a never-ending project here.
Well, we're going to take another break. I want to very quickly give a shout-out to another one of our new advertisers, Queensberry Laundry in Boston. Knock out your laundry problems with Queensberry. But now we're going to try and pay my mortgage a little more, and we will be back. When it comes to floors, you're covered with Littles Floor Covering, 359 Summer Street, Fitchburg. For 20 years, Littles has sold and installed the best selection of carpets and floors for your home or business. Keep yourself covered with Littles Floor Covering, 978-345-5425, on the web at littlesfloorcovering.com. At JS Protective Services, Inc., www.jsps.us, your security is our business. JS Protective is a family-owned business that will provide you with professionally trained and certified guards for all your security needs. Uniformed or plain clothes, armed or unarmed, one guard or 50. JS Protective Services, 978-537-6700, makes the security of your business their business. And if you have an emergency, we can provide same-day services for any contingency. Your business is your living. Keep it safe and secure with JS Protective Services, Inc., 435 Lancaster Street, Leominster, and on the web at www.jsps.us. 40 years ago, when abortion was uncommon, 1% of all U.S. births were to unwed mothers. Millions of taxpayer dollars in abortions later, 40% of all U.S. births are to unwed mothers. Well done, Planned Parenthood. Choose life. Paid for by Fitchburg MCFL.
Jane, you look sharp.
Of course. I just came from Sharp Design Salon in Fitchburg.
Sharp Designs? I love that place. Bernadette, Jackie, and Belle make my hair look awesome.
And it's not just hair. Makeup, facials, they do it all.
I know. When Monica makes me up, I'm ready for the holidays.
I love the Saturday hours. They're open till 5 p.m. Most salons close at 12.
And with evening hours on Friday, Sharp Designs is there when you need them.
If you want a sharp look, you want Sharp Designs in Fitchburg. 978-343-3324.
That's 978-343-3324.
At Linguini's Italian Eatery, 350 Boston Post Road West in Marlboro, Butch Rappucci and family serve the best Italian food in the area. First-rate fettuccine alfredo, the largest serving of chicken parm around, fruity damari, lobster ravioli, and homemade bread, pizza, and calzones with the North End flavor that Butch grew up with. Linguini's lunch specials will fill your stomach without emptying your wallet, and the family will treat you as their own. Don't forget to try my favorite, chicken pizziola. Take a tip from the tech guy and try Linguini's, Route 20 Marlboro, and tell him Pete sent you. Aaron Pallet has provided dependable service for 43 years to businesses large and small. For pallets recycled, rebuilt, remanufactured, or new, 800-248-7543 is the number to call. Your business is our business at Aaron Pallet, 88 Benson Street, Fitchburg, 800-248-7543. On the web at aaronpallet.com. Choose Queensberry Laundry, 112 Queensberry Street, Boston, for all your laundry needs. Dry cleaning, bulky items, repairs, or residential cleaning, we get it done. Have a commercial business with linen, uniform, or something more? Call 978-376-8732, and we'll quote you a special rate with pickup and delivery available. And let Queensberry's holiday special give you more time. Drop your laundry off at Queensberry, and we'll wash it, dry it, fold it, and have it waiting for you for less than a dollar per pound. That's Queensberry Laundry, serving you for decades at 112 Queensberry Street, Boston. 978-376-8732.
What was that?
I just want to bring up a point here.
This is where to go when you've got something to say.
You're going to have to tell these people what they want to know.
True Talk, 830 WCRN.
And we are back with 50,000 watts of True Talk beaming out all over New England, New York, and beyond. And a live stream off the internet where we are very grateful for all of you listening. And I only wish we had a camera so you could see Turtle Boy. You would. I got to tell you, I don't know how many of you have not been to New York. I mean, not New York, Worcester. But if you ever saw the statue that was in front of our studios, you would not believe it.
I mean, definitely needs a coat on tonight.
You definitely would not believe it. I mean,
I think the turtle needs a coat.
But now you, I mean, you have it. I
just don't understand the motivation of the artist behind this.
That thing is 100 years old. I mean, oh, lonely conservative, I am both glad as a gentleman but disappointed as a person who likes a good laugh that you cannot see the statue in front of this studio.
Well, you'll have to take a photo of it and post it on your phone.
I don't think I can put that on the net.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I will.
It's the third most publicly erotic publicly displayed statue in the United States.
Wow.
And the interesting thing was the other night, several of us were walked across the street to take a look at it because we had some visitors here that had never been over close to Turtle Boy. And when they got over, they all went, "You guys aren't kidding. This is like very odd."
Well, speaking of things that aren't odd, I want to give you a quick rundown of some of our guests we're going to be having on the next few shows. Next week, again, we're going to be at 5 p.m. rather than our normal 9 for the next 2 weeks for UMass basketball. We're going to have Sissy Willis as our primary call-in guest with Roxanne DeLuca in studio. For the 11th, we are scheduled to have Pam Geller from Atlas Shrugs, although we have to confirm because of the time move. I wanted to hear back from Pam just to make sure. And Camp of the Saints will be in the studio. Dan Ryle is going to be on the phone for the 18th, along with the Right Wing Gamer, a friend of mine. And we have a very special Christmas show. We will be on the air Christmas. We will be taped, however. And we're bringing in the Kurt Jester and, holy smoke, Damian Thompson from England. And we're going to be talking a little bit about Christ and Christmas and all of that good stuff. But we have who's on the phone? We have Sissy Willis, our guest for next week, on the phone. So, Sissy, let's add you in. Get you in early.
Hi, Pete. Just wanted to see if the phone works and everything.
The phone works. Sissy, Lonely Conservative. Lonely Conservative Sissy, have you met?
No, we haven't. Hi, Sissy.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm really enjoying the show. It's really easy listening.
Well, we're just charming people over here. And the science guy is also from Massachusetts, so you're going to have to meet him in person sooner or later.
Do I have to?
Well, he's a nice guy.
Oh, come on now.
I mean, if you knew the science guy, and he has such a nice fedora. I mean, we are talking serious axes of fedora action over here.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
We need to get a...
I can't resist a fedora.
Oh, well.
hey, Pete, I got an idea. Maybe for Christmas you can get Turtle Boy a fedora.
Where would we
That's
put it,
That's not going to help the statue's appeal.
It was a thought, okay?
Well, Sissy,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead first. You're calling in.
Oh, I'm just saying it's kind of hard to hear. I'm hearing echoes and resounding and stuff like that. Will it be different next week? Will I call on a different line or something like that?
Well, you will be on a different line next week. You're going to be on the primary line because you will be our primary guest, as we have a primary guest on the phone each time. Of course, you could always come in the studio if you wish. You're more than welcome to bop in.
I know. I'm tempted, but it's a little bit far away for me. So.
Well, you had an interesting article today on your site that I linked to concerning Sarah Palin and Bristol Palin. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Well, sure. I'm actually already beyond that, and I've done two more posts since then and got an Insta-lanch.
All right.
I'm talking about Alan Simpson's. It's sort of along the same line. What I said was that Alan Simpson had suffered a Barbara Bush moment, you know, sort of taking off on the idea of a senior moment where he kind of, I always liked Barbara and Alan's, you know, straightforward, authentic, you know, they say what they thought. But now it doesn't look so good because they're kind of dissing us Tea Partyers and saying, Sarah should stay, you know, Barbara said Sarah should stay in Alaska, and Alan said, you know, we should just shut up and not listen to Rush and not listen to... And the equivalency between people like Rush and Glenn Beck versus MSNBC, Maddow and Oberman. You know, that's the meme. I think it's the journalist cableist group. I think that's their current narrative is that there's an equivalency between the Fox and the MSNBC.
I should point out that that post is titled Alan Simpson Suffers a Barbara Bush Moment, and you can find it at sisu.typepad.com. So I strongly recommend that if you're listening, you swing over there and take a look at it.
Thanks a lot. Okay, I'm going to sign off and listen some more, and I'll see you next Saturday.
We'll see you next Saturday.
Great
and
talking to you.
Happy to
and
have you anytime.
I look forward to meeting the science guy.
That we're going to have to arrange that sooner or later.
Good recovery. Good recovery.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Cissy Willis, who will be our guest next week. But let's talk a little bit more with our guest this week. I wanted to mention something else that came up in the news about the IRS targeting pro-Israeli groups. That was at pajamasmedia.com on Ron Radosh wrote about it, and then Politico picked it up about the IRS asking groups if they supported Israel. And I thought that was very, very interesting. Have you guys heard about that?
No, I haven't seen that one.
No, yet. I just pulled up the link right now. You know what? Nothing they do these days surprises me.
No, it's kind of sad, really, that it reaches the point where you're not surprised. Now, I would have thought that it takes a little time for turnover, because when you have a new administration, you have civil servants who are still there. You have some turnover at the top and so forth, but your civil servants are still there, so I'm a little bit surprised that we're seeing this type of thing from civil servants. And it's just, it's a sad thing to see it. I mean, when we're starting to pick up on our friends, pick on them, I mean, what are we doing to ourselves? It's just a sad thing.
Well, part of the issue with some of the civil servant area is that, you know, if you see people have been working some of these jobs so long and they're so used to just blindly following instructions that if something does flow down, they're liable to just look at it and go, okay, cool, that's what I'm supposed to do, is continually ask people this list of questions. It's just a check sheet. There's no thought that goes into, why am I asking people that? And nobody ever thinks to question that authority.
Okay, I should mention where this article is. It's on pajamasmedia.com. The author is Ron Radosh, R-O-N-R-A-D-O-S-H. The article is called, Is the IRS Targeting Jewish Groups for Being Pro-Israel? And I'm going to read you a little bit from this. American Jews who defend Israel, it seems, have not much to be happy about this Thanksgiving week. In a major political article, writer Ben Smith writes that Z Street, a hawkish pro-Israel group that consistently bills itself as an alternative to the leftist J Street, reveals the IRS may be targeting pro-Israeli groups for seeking a tax exemption solely on the grounds of their position. And we're talking about some serious slippery slopes here. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. When you hear something like that, it just makes you shake your head.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
Pete, what do you think that has to do with? I mean, what is, whether or not you like Israel, you support Israel, have to do with taxes? I don't get that at all.
Well, the saying is the power to tax is the power to destroy. And when you tax behavior, you get less of it. If you want to influence people, I mean, there's a reason why sin taxes are called sin taxes, because the idea was to influence behavior a particular way. And when you see something like that when it comes to political behavior, I mean, there's a lot of political behavior I don't care for out there. And that was going on during the Bush era. You know, you had people, you know, Bush is Hitler, Bush is this, Bush is that. But it's, you know, it's speech. You got to give people, you know, their free speech. And when you start going after people for their speech rather than for what they're doing, I don't believe in hate crimes, because hate crimes are thought crimes. I mean, I've never heard of if a murder is not a love crime, oh, I'm going to rob you because I love you. I mean, this hate crime stuff is nonsense.
Crime's a crime. There's no degree. It's not a, this is this type of, it's illegal. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I mean, when you enforce the laws, when you punish action rather than thought, then you're doing your civic duty. Well, it's getting at 9:52. We're getting near the end. So I want to go to a particular segment, which we want to discuss some things on the blog that you probably have not heard of, but you should have. And I'm going to go first because it's my show. And we're going to point to Father Z's blog at WDPRS.com. And that those initials stand for What Does This Prayer Really Say? Father Z is a priest in the Midwest. And he blogs about something that's going on in the Catholic Church tomorrow at every single cathedral. And here's how it goes. To encourage a commitment and witness within the church to love and life, a prayer initiative to be led by the Pope is being promoted by a pair of cardinals. All the bishops in the world are being asked to invite the faithful to pray for the unborn during the prayerful session before Christmas. On November 27th, to mark the start of Advent, first week of Advent, Pope Benedict will preside over the first Vespers at St. Peter's Basilica, as is customary. And basically, this is going to be done in every cathedral. It's going to be done in the cathedral at Worcester, 7 p.m., every cathedral in the country. Now, we've heard a lot of talk about the Pope in condoms, and we're probably going to be getting into that on our Christmas show a little bit. But the media has not brought this up. Now, here's something that's going to take place in every single country in the world, in every single cathedral in the world. But for some reason, not worth a whole lot of interest. I don't know why the media decided that, you know, people praying for the unborn isn't interesting.
Now, it must be like that Israeli thing, huh?
Yeah, I mean, for some reason it didn't get mentioned. Now, the science guy, you've got something for us, if I'm not mistaken.
One of the things that you don't see the news media talking a lot about, other than in sort of a praiseworthy way, is this guy at WikiLeaks. He's coming out with more things about weapons of mass destruction. He's coming out with more things about Afghanistan. He's coming out with things about wherever we happen to be at. And there's a reason classified stuff is classified.
That's right.
Because it could or will cause harm to the national defense of the United States. And when you got bullets flying at guys in two different countries, and possibly three if Korea keeps heating up, it's just going to cost lives, and it's going to cost lives of people I know. And those are the kind of things where I know he thinks he's doing the right thing, but there's better ways to do the right thing.
Do you think that's being leaked to him through the government?
Somebody with a security clearance has to be giving him that information. So somebody,
I mean, do you think that's by design, based on what we were talking about earlier with Obama, and just all the apologizing for the country and basically making us weaker?
Okay, well, I want to interrupt you to get the lonely conservative in, okay. But I do want to mention that WikiLeaks leak also mentioned weapons of mass destruction that were found. For some reason, that didn't make much of the news. Do you have a blog that we should be hitting, a story that we haven't heard?
Well, there was one that I posted about a week ago, and it was the IPCC chairman on the climate change thing. He came out and he said that climate policy, global climate policy, is redistribution of the world's wealth. And the media has just been silent on this. Basically, they've been silent on the whole ClimateGate scandal. And, you know, I found it interesting that the media didn't let us know that one of these officials at the IPCC pretty much confirmed what we've all been saying all along.
Well, I want to thank The Lonely Conservative and encourage people to see that article at thelonelyconservative.com. I want to thank The Science Guy for coming down to the studio. John, I want to thank you for staying. And I want to remind everybody that we will be back at 5 p.m. next week and the week after. And thank you very much for listening both online and on the air. And this is Pete Ide, the tech guy, and we are off the air, but only for a week.
Aaron Pallet has been a leader in the industry, known for dependable service for 43 years. For pallets recycled, rebuilt, remanufactured, or new, 800-248-7543 is the number to call. Need pallets in a pinch? Aaron Pallet's radio dispatch trucks are on the job, and your small business isn't small to us. A call to 800-248-7543 brings you the same great service that some of the largest food manufacturers in the world rely on. Your business is our business at Aaron Pallet, 88 Benson Street, Fitchburg, on the web at aaronpallet.com. There are many ways that you can be a soldier's angel. You can bake. Our angel bakers bake homemade treats for the deployed. You can write. Our wounded TLC team sends out cards and letters of support to the wounded. You can knit. Our sewing team makes blankets and scarves for the deployed. There are many ways to be a soldier's angel. Find your way at soldiersangels.org. Do you have a little angel in you? It's magic and more at Land Games, 444 Central Street, Leominster. Tourneys, singles, D&D, Warhammer miniatures, Land's got you covered. You've got game at Land Games, 444 Central Street, Leominster, 978-466-9851. On the web at landgamestore.com.
CBS News brings you the world on News and Talk Radio, WCRN, Worcester, Boston.
CBS News, I'm Sam Litzinger.